It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
It's Friday, September the 15th, y'all. Yeah, boy. 1900 UTC. Present day. Present time.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, welcome, one and all. As I was saying, it's Friday, September the 15th, 2023. It's 1901 UTC here, right on Anon Radio, your home for all the good that your ears need in its life. Shout out to everybody in comm hanging out, like the quintessential Publius and the Publicential Quentin. Welcome, welcome. Jay Lamoth, Ratsu, X1, the Z-Man, Zerohoff's here. Connor H, hadn't seen you in a minute. Hello, hello. Stugs in the house. And yeah, just a lot of people. Comm is bumping and jumping. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I want to say that I am super grateful to my job for them being so chill. I was like, I got COVID, and they're like, just let us know when you're better. And that is exactly what I needed, because I didn't stress about work, and I feel like that's helped accelerate the healing process. So anyway, hooray for healing. Of course, if you've listened to this show any amount of time, you know that at the beginning of the show, we used to do world news, but it slowly turned into something a little darker, a little bit of death and destruction, if you will. And that, my friends, is how we start today. We start our day in a darker place.
Morocco.
All right, here we go. Morocco earthquake. Yeah, I've got gingembre tea, which is helping keep my throat clear. And then I put a little bit of honey in there and some ginger. And though ginger and honey is like a magic medicine. I swear, if I ever get a cough again, I'm drinking ginger tea the whole time. Oh, it's so good. All right, here we go. Morocco earthquake. The teacher who lost all 32 of her pupils. That's right, the teacher didn't die, but all 32 of her students are dead. The thoughts of one Moroccan school teacher immediately turned to her pupils when she felt the 6.8 magnitude earthquake strike a week ago. Nasreen Abu El Fadel was in Marrakesh, but Edessil, the mountain village that was home to her school and pupils, was close to the epicenter. The Arabic and French language teacher returned to Edessil, where she went searching for the children, and discovered that all 32, ranging from 6 to 12 years old, were dead. I went to the village and started asking about my kids. Where is Somaya? Where is Yusuf? Where is this girl? Where is that boy? The answer came hours later. They are all dead. They were among almost 3,000 people killed by the strongest earthquake ever recorded in Morocco, which struck on September 8th. Okay, I thought this was about an aftershock that happened after the fact. Sorry for rehashing old news. But yeah, the death count from Morocco is just insane. Marrakesh, fortunately, was spared. There's hardly any damage there. But a lot of Morocco is suffering, so it's really sad. But don't worry, there's also a lot of death in other countries from flooding and all sorts of other destruction. But this one was the most sad, I thought. Bold and beloved, Palestinians mourn a teenager killed by Israel. And this is kind of old news, but I still think it's important to keep reporting it. Malad Al-Ray dreamed of being famous. The 16-year-old was an avid footballer, and everyone knew he wanted to go to Spain's Santiago Bernabéu Stadium to watch his favorite team, Real Madrid, play. And one day, he was going to play for them. Yeah. Publius asking, so how many deaths from Morocco and 20,000 from Libya? Yeah. Sorry, I was typing. Let's see. Death toll and key details. Let's see what we got here. Blink. At least 2,900 people died from the earthquake, and 5,500 were injured. So, it's still a tragedy, but that's the difference. Libya had at least 10,000 they know about, and they think that at least twice as many are probably dead. And then in Morocco, 2,900 people are dead, 5,500 were injured. So real tragedies, both places. In the Narrows, anyway, this young Palestinian boy was killed by Israeli soldiers. It marks the 47th Palestinian child to be killed by Israel this year. The story is pretty much the same. Both sides, Palestine says it's just a kid, and Israel says he was a hardened terrorist trying to destroy their country. In France, a trial is opening over a bus driver's death in a face mask fight. Two men are facing a court in southwest France accused of beating a bus driver to death after they allegedly refused to wear face masks. The defendants, now aged 24 and 25, are accused of dealing mortal blows during the incident in the city of Bayonne in July 2020. Philippe Monguillot, age 59, died in a hospital 5 days after the assault. The two accused could face a 20-year prison sentence if convicted. Prosecutors say the driver was set upon after asking three men on his bus to show their tickets and adjust their face masks as they were over their chin. The incident occurred after the end of France's first COVID lockdown, when masks were mandatory on all public transport. In an ensuing confrontation, Mr. Mongoyon was kicked and punched, and his head hit the pavement as he fell. Publius pointing out, we want the right to kill you by spreading disease, and if you won't allow us that, we'll kill you outright. Yeah, it's pretty tough out there. I've got two religious violence stories for you. And get this, the perpetrators aren't all Christians, which is a surprise. Or extreme, like Muslim extremists or something. First, a young Muslim man was killed. Let's talk about him. Let's see. At about 8:30 p.m. on September 10th, Hassan, a 31-year-old civil engineer, left his home for the Isha prayers at a nearby mosque. His uncle, Mohammed Siraj, said there were about 15 people in the mosque and the prayers were in progress when they heard commotion outside. A mob had surrounded the mosque, chanting anti-Muslim slogans and making inflammatory remarks about Islam. Around 150 to 200 Hindu men gathered outside the masjid and started throwing stones, damaging some parked vehicles. A witness, wishing anonymity, told Al Jazeera the mob broke the mosque's door and barged into it. They carried sharp weapons, iron rods, and small pieces of granite and batons. So rocks. As soon as they entered, they began assaulting everyone present. Hassan was hit on his head with an iron rod multiple times, causing him to collapse. He was already dead when we lifted him from the spot. Remarked one of the people that was there. He said, adding that at least 14 other people suffered injuries. So, yeah. Publius prefers his religion with less violence. I, too, think religion needs less violence. It needs more peace. You need a lot of hugs in your religion. Just no bad touching. witnesses further described how the mob set fire to a nearby shop and vandalized several vehicles and hand carts bearing Muslim names. They destroyed all the lights in the masjid, burned the Quran and other religious books, and appeared intent on killing all of us. Hindu nationalism is really big in India right now, and they've got a really extremist group leading the country, so it's really scary there. So, something I wanted to mention, because this is something I don't know, so I wanted to learn. I went and looked. I was like, what is the evening? I didn't realize, but each of the five prayers that the Muslims pray during the day have a name. And so there's Fajr, Fajr is the morning one, the pre-dawn one. And then during the day, there's Duhur, Asr, it's ASR, I'm not sure how to say it, Maghrib, and Isha. So, I'll put a link to the image. Blink. Oh. I don't know if... Is that a valid link? Blink. It is. Okay. This link looks very weird, but apparently it's valid. Prayers. If you go to sdf.org/l/lima/19a, it's sdf.org/l/19a, all lowercase, sdf.org/lima/19alpha. Hey, X1's here for the Fidea Death and Destruction. So anyway, if you go to that link, you'll see the graphic that I found that showed like what the different prayer names were. I always think different religions are neat. I'm not super religious, so I always find the rituals in all these different religions. I think rituals are interesting. All right. Publius knows something about traditional Christian prayer services through the course of the day, include matins, prime, terce, lauds, and vespers. That's very cool. I didn't know that there were ever five different prayer times for Christians, so that's very cool. Publius, knowing all sorts of cool facts. And welcome back, WX Boss. Welcome, welcome. So let's talk about some Christian nationalists. Six Soldiers of Christ members are in custody after a woman's body was found in a trunk. That's right, five adults and a 15-year-old, self-described as, quote, Soldiers of Christ religious group members, were in custody Thursday on murder charges after a woman's body was found in the trunk of a car parked outside a popular spa in Atlanta's suburbs. Ratsu pointing out, Christianity is a broad church. Very true, very true. These guys are in Atlanta, not Florida, as you might suspect. Investigators said that someone reported the discovery Tuesday night, outside of a Korean spa and sauna in Duluth. Authorities said the killing does not appear to be connected to the spa. The victim, according to arrest warrants, was starved and beaten for weeks before she eventually died. Facing charges of felony murder, false imprisonment, tampering with evidence, and concealing the death of another are Eric Hyun, Suwani Gwawam Lee, Junhoo Lee, Junhyun Lee, Hyunji Lee, and a 15-year-old, all from Lawrenceville. All are being held without bond. A woman who answered the phone listening for Hyun hung up. A woman who answered the phone listening for Junhoo Lee said she couldn't talk. When the family members went back to the vehicle, police said he parked the vehicle early Tuesday, then called a relative to pick him up. The family member then took him to a hospital for some injuries. While there, he asked the family member to get a personal item from the parked vehicle. When the family member went back to the vehicle, he discovered the woman's body in the trunk and called 911. So, very wild here, but yeah. Publius saying, okay, these sound like Korean crazies. Yeah, so this is a wild thing, because these are Americans in Atlanta, but Publius pointing out there's a faction of the Unification Church, Moonies, who worship carrying AK-47s. Oh, interesting. They'd fit in right here in America, so maybe. Hold on. I haven't talked this much in a minute. The disease, the sickness, is rearing its ugly head. We're going to make it through. Wow. All right. So, let me just go ahead and take this as a reminder to remind you, in 17 minutes, coming up at 19:30 UTC, is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on and on radio at 19:30 UTC, followed by Something Blue from Harry Larry. This is a fun show. It airs on the Real Terrestrial Radio, as well as on and on radio, so check it out. You can also go to Something Blue, I think it's somethingblue.com, Something Blue. Nope. .org? Nope. Darn it, I can't remember Harry Larry's site. Something Blue. Let's see. here you go. Go to deltaboogie.com. I think that's the site. Let's see. If you go to Delta Boogie, that's DeltaBoogie.com, that has a link to Delta Boogie Radio, and different Harry Larry content, including Something Blue. Oh, there we go. Jay LaMoth is in with the real link, sbblues.com. So somethingblueblues.com. SierraBravoBlues.com. That's the right one. All righty. There you go. So we're going to keep on rolling. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. The men who were going to kidnap her, they got off. A jury in the state of Michigan has acquitted three men of involvement in a plot to kidnap the senator. William Knoll, Michael Knoll, and Eric Molitor were found not guilty of providing support for a terrorist act and a weapons charge. They are among 14 accused of plotting to kidnap Michigan governor. Nine men have been convicted or pleaded guilty, and two others were previously acquitted. So, just a heads up to that. Zero, the Z-Man, pointing out, my home state embarrasses me. Yeah, it's okay. They convicted most of the guys. It's just a few of them. They're on the outskirts are getting off. Now, this is gross. Not necessarily destruction-wise. It's ecological destruction. The UK's Environment Watchdog suspects the government and water regulators have broken the law over how they regulate sewage releases. It follows continued high levels of sewage releases in England, which topped 825 times a day last year. Campaigners and opposition MPs have called the regulators complicit in allowing pollution. The government said it didn't agree with the Office for Environmental Protection's initial interpretations. Last week, a BBC investigation found potentially hundreds of illegal dry sewage spills in England. In response to the announcement, the government said the volume of sewage discharge is completely unacceptable. That is why we are the first government in history to take such comprehensive action to tackle it. But campaigners hit back at the government's record on sewage pollution. Wildfish is an environmental charity who brought one of the original complaints to the Office for Environmental Protection and said, "Let's be quite clear here. Those three public bodies are complicit in allowing the pollution that must now end." And they have several other people complaining. Sewage sometimes needs to be released when it's raining to prevent a buildup of wastewater in the system and sewage flowing back into people's homes. They currently allow sewage to be discharged on any day when it has rained and only investigates if there's been sewage released on a dry day. But campaigners have long argued that the environmentalists office should be looking at any sewage discharges that happen outside of heavy rain, not just rain-free days. In 2012, following a case brought by retired Sunderland engineer Robert Latimer, the EU courts ruled that sewage should only be discharged during exceptional circumstances. Uh-oh. Stug come in here. Oh, I'm going to cough some more. Sorry about that. I am still sick, despite the sickness. It consumes me. Trinity. I think I'm back. Oh, I'm sorry. I just was coughing, and that was kind of like, ugh, what is happening? But yeah, mixed sewers are a terrible idea, and England's full of them, and a lot of environmental damage is happening because of them. It's a very expensive problem, though. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring up the heading there. Let's see. Stug pointing out, of course they've broken the law. Some utter madness with how much is going to shareholders of the water companies. Yeah, any... yeah, I broke the internet. I broke through the internet. Oh, geez. We might have to play a song. I keep having trouble getting through a story. The cop yesterday I was talking about, who was laughing about how they ran over a girl and killed her. Well, sorry, I'm talking slower to hopefully not cough. That cop has come out and said that he wasn't making fun of the girl. He was talking on the phone with another cop. And they were joking. He was joking about how, or at least what he's saying that he was talking to somebody on the phone. And when he was talking to them, he was joking like, oh yeah, they're for sure. Like, he was trying to be sarcastic and say that he thinks that it's wrong, but the city is just going to be like, eh, just cut a check. Who cares? It was a loaf. And he was trying to joke about it in a way that was like, yeah, this is wrong. So, could be, I don't know. I've heard people joke like that before. Usually, not a good thing. Oh, jeepers. All right, hold on. Due to some COVID stuff, here's a song called Drag Me. Oh, hold on. Let me see if I can get it in here. I got it because I have to drag it into... Hello, where are you? It says it's playing, but I don't hear it. Pause. Do you guys hear the song? Let's see. See if I pause this. What's happening? Oh, bugger. Bugger, 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 bugger. Shucks. Sorry, I thought I was playing a song, but it doesn't seem to want to play. Let's see. Nope. Yeah, thanks, digital media. All right, I guess we won't play this song. It says it's playing, but I don't think it's playing, so we'll just roll with it. let me tell you some other outrageous stories real quick before I fade away into the sleepless night. Yeah, it is very anti-pedestrian, for sure. Pedestrians are a low caste in America. Pedestrians and public transit users are at the bottom. Then bicyclists are a little bit above. But bicyclists in the U.S., in cities, have their own problems. It's very frustrating. Anyway, a Marine stole an Afghanistan baby and is now mad that he has to return it. The U.S. government has warned a Virginia judge that allowing an American Marine to keep an Afghan war orphan, they're not really an orphan because their parents are demanding their child be returned to them. Risks violating international law and could be viewed around the world as endorsing an act of international child abduction. It's rare for the federal government to step into a local custody case, but concern about the child's fate has stretched across the Trump and Biden administrations. Failing to return the child, now four to Afghan relatives in the U.S., to Afghan relatives in the U.S. could jeopardize American efforts to resettle Afghan refugees, threaten international security pacts, and might be used as propaganda by Islamic extremists, potentially endangering U.S. soldiers overseas. So, oh yeah, good point, Thrig. Thrig pointing out homeless are really on the bottom. Yeah. It's kind of funny. It's like, oh, this little girl is not going to have the best, according to the American standard, the Western standard, they're not going to have the best life there. Anyway, there's a custody battle going on. Let's see. The Mass and the girl's Afghan relatives are suing to get her back, but they're not allowed to speak publicly about the case. Justice Department wrote that the Mass, who are the Americans who live in Fluvanna County, convinced their local court judge that the child, 7,000 miles away, was the stateless daughter of foreign fighters from an unknown neighboring country, and that the Afghan government intended to waive jurisdiction over her. A year later, the judge, who has since retired, made the adoption permanent. The child, however, was never stateless. The Afghan government didn't relinquish its claim over her, and the orders were obtained fraudulently by the mass, who knowingly made false representations in Virginia. So, like it or not, you can't go around to different countries and steal babies. The United States government can, but as an individual, you're not allowed to do that. The UAW is on strike. Joe Biden says he endorses it. We'll see how long that is. Joe Biden famously forced, as soon as the railway workers were striking and it was going to impact anybody's bottom line, anybody's money, they passed laws and forced all the workers back. So don't trust the U.S. government to be pro-worker ever. But, I mean, they went down and killed a bunch of coal miners before. So, anyway, keep an eye out. We may see UAW workers getting shot up soon. Protests in Germany as Berlin State Opera lifts ban on Russian-born soprano. Quentin, at least the child will have access to crayons. The Berlin State Opera has defended its decision to allow the Russian-born soprano Anna Netrebko to perform on its stage despite protests from people who claim she has failed to unambiguously distance herself from Putin over the invasion of Ukraine. The singer has Russian and Austrian nationality and is due to appear at the Staatsoper on Friday and a further 3 nights in September, performing the role of Lady Macbeth. The Staatsoper had stopped its work with the singer over concerns about her alleged closeness to the Kremlin, but its general director, Matthias Schultz, has said in a lengthy and unusual statement that he is convinced that she has distanced herself adequately and has described the war as an unprovoked invasion. So, we'll see what happens here. I can see Germany's point, but it seems like if you've got dual citizenship and you've distanced yourself, that might not be so bad. Unless you understand. My watch going off there. Unlimited olive oil. Oh, crayons at Olive Garden. I read that as unlimited olive oil at crayons, and I was like, what? If I could get unlimited olive oil somewhere, man, I'm there. France is saying their ambassador is being held hostage after earlier in the year, France saying, no, we're not going to leave the country, even if the country asks us to leave. So, good for them. Hopefully France learns its lesson about colonialism. Don't know. Johnson & Johnson is under investigation in South Africa over excessive drug prices. Who knew? You can't extort people all the time. U.S. pharmaceutical company Johnson & Johnson is under investigation in South Africa for charging excessive prices for a tuberculosis drug. If there's one thing you can trust, it's that drug companies will charge outrageous sums for any drug that saves life. The South African Competition Commission said J&J's Belgian subsidiary, Janssen Pharmaceuticals, was also under investigations. So, don't be surprised there. Massachusetts and Maine are being put under emergency watch as a big hurricane is headed its way. It's kind of funny because hurricanes normally don't go that far north. I'm trying to get the news out. Two nuclear generators are back online. Bruce 6 re-entered commercial operation, Unit 6 in Ontario, 39 years to the day after it was first declared in service in 1984. Oh, shucks. Also, the Takahama 2 reactor is back online. It's been offline for 12 years.
Well, that sound means that...
Bye, Claudio. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Dubious goals, dubious goals time. It's time for dubious goals, dubious goals time. We got to dial in.